is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's. Visit andreasgifts.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. Andrea's, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
Supporting WGTD is the Metropolitan Opera, whose next high-definition simulcast is Saturday, January 7th, Giuseppe Verdi's early masterwork Nabucco, at Kenosha's Tinseltown and Racine's Renaissance Theater. More information at metopera.org.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. It's been a couple years since I've had Dr. Lolly Hawes, superintendent of the Racine Unified School District, as my guest on Education Matters, so I'm very pleased today to welcome Dr. Hawes back to Education Matters. And a lot has happened since you last joined me on this program, so we'll find out about that as the program progresses.
Oh, we're always busy in Racine, Dwayne. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. So let's start out. Two new buildings were opened this school year, and one, Gifford, was added to make it a K-8 school. And tell our listeners about the challenges each faced as it opened and as well beyond mid-semester. Now, we'll start with Knapp Elementary.
Well, Knapp is a brand new school, so the only challenge we had was hurrying up to get the old one knocked down in time to make the fields, and that's all done now. But we opened Knapp as a community school, meaning that it has in support with the United Way of Racine County, we have an extra person there, Jamie Racine, who works to make sure that all of the families and the children have the supports they need right there at school. So we have a mental health clinic there for the children and their families. They've had doctors who come through regularly we've had dentists come through. They have lots of special community evening and weekend events so that school is the hub of the community. It's a beautiful school. The enrollment is up. They're in a lovely, lovely space. And, of course, children in an old, clunky, old building or in a brand new, clean and bright building, their behavior is a little better and the whole general feeling is
the
better.
The atmosphere.
It's all just going great. We opened that building on time and under budget. And we're really grateful that we have United Way partnering with us to do the extra wraparound. In addition
right.
to, so the teachers can focus on teaching and the principal can focus on running the school. And then they have another person that United Way supports and funds who makes sure that the families and the other things that kids need in a high poverty neighborhood like Knapp, that those things are in place so that the teachers don't have to get swept away in all of those
yes.
issues. Other people are taking care of that, and that's going very, very well.
Are there thoughts about having more community
yes,
schools
we'd
in
love
Racine?
To. We'd
because
love
that's
to.
Really a real mm-hmm. development in urban districts.
Yes, it's kind of a movement across the country in high poverty urban communities. So we want to get this year under our belt and see
yes.
what's working and look at what's been the most successful aspects of that, and then start looking at what other schools might we want to have a community school model in.
Does the district provide school nurses then, or
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
like for Knapp? And
We have nurses full or part-time depending on the children who go to that school. Some
yes.
children have more medical needs at some schools than others, but we have nurses, RNs, LPNs, and nurse assistants at our school. But what we have now is that we have the dentists coming through once in a while to give the kids oral, you know, exams
Wonderful.
Of their teeth. We have a medical van coming through to do some of the medical needs that some of our students might have. And we have people there who, if a family comes in and they need help with, I don't know, putting together a resume to look for a job, or they need help getting on the free and reduced food application completed, or they need interpreter service, whatever they need, they can come to school and get it instead of having to get in the bus or get a car and find a way to get to wherever that office is. You know, we try to help them right there at the school with all those things so that the families are secure. And,
yes.
you know, if you have a strong family, your children are going to do better.
Oh, exactly. Right.
So that's what we try to do at NAP. Olympia Brown, that opened up in the northern part, up right up by the lake shore. And that's on a huge, beautiful field. And they've we've kept the land around that school a little bit natural because that school is focusing on science and environment curriculum. And so they're using a lot of the land and the fields and the curriculum to focus on science learning and engineering and some of the technology kind of fields. And that school also opened on time and under budget. And we didn't really have any challenges there. Their enrollment is very strong as well. The families love it. It's a great school. The teacher, you know, Olympia Brown, where it's been, is an old, crumbling, older facility that we kind
right.
of inherited and had been using, but it was just falling apart. And so, you know, that faculty is thrilled to get into a new school, and the parents there. And it's going gangbusters. That's a great school. We're really proud of that one. And Gifford, those families couldn't be more happy. They have a K-8, so when their children start there, they get to stay all the way through eighth grade. We know that some of our families didn't have a great deal of confidence in our middle schools and were sometimes choosing other options for middle school, but now they're happy to stay at Gifford, and they really like that K-8 model. And we've expanded K-8s to look at both Gerstead and Mitchell as K-8 models more, too, where it's not a Gerstead Elementary and a Gerstead Middle, but it's Gerstead Agerholm School, and it's a K-8 building. So children have the chance to, you know, and families have a chance to have their child stay at one school for all those years. There's a lot of good research out here to show that for many kids, that's a better move for them.
Okay.
You know, to stay with the same school, and the teachers all know me. They've known me since I was 5 all the way through eighth grade. You behave a little different if your kindergarten teacher sees you every day.
Exactly.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, so. That's great. So to know then that Gifford then has been added then to the K-8s and Racine Unified. And then Jane's Elementary, that was shifted then from its
right.
Year-round.
They were year-round, and we went to a traditional schedule with them back to, like our others, was we had many families opting to not go to James because they didn't want the year-round calendar, and there was expectation or belief that the year-round calendar might support some of the learning at that school, but we weren't seeing that come true. And in fact, our teachers were missing at Jane's some of the professional learning that goes on in the summer that we offer. They couldn't attend, or sometimes even during the year, because they would be on break right when we were offering
yes.
what they needed to attend. So we have a new principal there. That school, I was there earlier this fall. It feels like a different place. That school is really doing well. We're really thrilled about Jane's. They're going gangbusters right now.
And the enrollment, is the enrollment higher now than when it was a year-round school?
I am not sure about that, but I'm sure we didn't lose. I don't believe we lost any students because of that.
Okay, let's move on then. Recent property purchases, including the Sportsplex in Sturtevant, which will house the real school, beginning fall of 2017. Tell our listeners about that, including the fact that those students will be able to take advantage of Gateway Technical College facilities as they are operating there.
That is going to be a real lighthouse school in, I think, in Wisconsin for us. The Sportsplex is kind of two sides. On one side, there are some indoor soccer fields and some basketball courts. And on the other side has been used for a variety of purposes in the past. That side of the building is going to turn into the real school, and we're getting ready to start that construction right now.
Okay.
Get that done. Again, they've been housed at that older facility out at Olympia Brown, and we just can't keep children there anymore. It's you know, kind of falling apart, and it was way too. It cost way more to fix it than to just build new. So that's what we've done. It'll be a 6 through 12. It's the real school moving over, but they're changing their program in that students can sign up in their 9th and 10th grade years for these engineering, coding, computer technology classes that lead and will be taught by our teachers, but be taking them over across the street at the IMET Center. And then as they get to be juniors and seniors in that pathway, actually teachers at Gateway will be teaching their classes for them. And we will have students that can walk out as a senior already with, you know, a year or more of college credits under their belt. They'll have college classes that they took in high school. They could go for some industry certifications in manufacturing.
Wonderful.
Or technology. So that is going to be a very exciting opportunity for our children whose families select to have their kids go there.
Well, and in terms of the taxpayers' funding of public education, then using the Gateway Technical facilities, mm-hmm. you know, just maximizes the use of those facilities and reduces costs then for educating our kids.
We didn't have to spend as much to build that school out because we can use the facilities across the road. And we have income coming in from renting out the sportsplex. We are already generating good income from renting the indoor soccer facilities out to different teams and leagues. So it was a win-win as far as we're concerned. And it also gives us a presence in Sturtevant, which I know Sturtevant sometimes feels like we, you know, Racine Unified isn't out there as much as we should be. So now we have a middle school and high school in Sturtevant that families could choose to, to enter into if they want.
Right. And that fits in, too. What's going on out there at the Sportsplex fits in nicely with the Academies of Racine, mm-hmm. too,
programming. It's a similar idea, but it's really a engineering, manufacturing, technology pathway. So it's really geared for children who have that interest and want to pursue that very seriously. And I know they also want to continue. They have a great arts and music program. They want to keep that going, too. But their main focus will be on this new partnership with Gateway Technical College.
Wonderful. Okay. The more opportunities, I think, you know, the better.
We want to give our families choices. We want to make sure that we have many choices in Racine Unified. Mm-hmm. Families want choices these days.
Exactly.
And so this is going to be another great choice. And where we are with Real now is pretty small, so the other exciting piece is that we'll be able to have a larger school out there, so more families will have the opportunity to choose Real School if they want to.
Okay. So, in fitting all of this, then, Unified recently purchased 3 properties. What's the thinking involved in those purchases? Will these properties provide facilities for the high school, academies, et cetera?
Actually, the Curtin Clinic that we bought on Northwestern Avenue, it's right across the street from Gilmore Middle School.
Right.
We have been renting a part of that facility already for our alternative programs for what we call RAE, Racine Alternative Education Program. We also have some special education programs there. Our teen parents can go there for getting their high school credits. We have a GED. We have kind of multiple alternative programs, and we've been renting that. And we have a program at St. John the 23rd that we've been renting for what we call TPA, Turning Point Academy. That's for our middle and high school students with severe behavior needs. So we've been paying rent on those 2 facilities, and it turns out that we were able to buy this building for less cost over the long term per month. So we're going to take out a loan to buy the building, but the rent that we pay at the 2 buildings will actually save money. So it's paying for itself, really, that instead of paying rent at St. John the 23rd and instead of paying rent to the people who were owning the Curtin Clinic, now we'll use that same money to pay the mortgage and even enough in that payment to have the money to fix up that building to make it the kind of school that we want. So we'll move Turning Point Academy over there, too. We like that building because it has many entrances, and so we can have these separate programs there with different entrances so that they're independent programs, but they're all one type of alternative education. And so all those programs can be in one place. Our future plans include also creating more space for professional development. We have a hard time finding places when we want to have training for our teachers, big enough rooms, enough rooms. So down the road a year or two or three, we want to also take a part of that building and make it a place where we can have professional development and training space. So it's a great, I think it's a great purchase
investment
for us. It's a good investment, and it doesn't cost us anything more than we're already spending in rent. And, you know, if you can buy for the same price as renting, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, because you've got an asset that you
can
use.
Right.
And the way Racine uses its buildings, well, you can use it for years.
Yep. So we think that that was a great purchase. And then we purchased some property, happened to come up right behind Case High School's field.
Yes.
That there's some farmland just to the west of that. So we know that down the road, at some point, sometime in the not short term, but midterm number of years, we need to redo Case's outdoor field, the track, this football field, soccer fields. And we're a little hemmed in to be able to do that with the property we own. So we asked the board to purchase that property behind it. Then we've got plenty of room to expand. If development goes crazy, we have a lot of homes out there. It's big enough to actually build an elementary school on that site as well. So, you know, that's the future. That's where all the new homes will be. And so someday, if Racine ever needs another elementary or middle school or something, we'll have some property in hand. And so we got a good price on that, and it's right up next, but right up to the current property at Case. So we thought this was a good time to just invest and get that as part of our land. And then there's another little piece of land, I think 5 acres, that was right next to Gifford. And when we expanded Gifford, of course, we sucked up a lot of their parking lot and playground. So we asked the board to purchase that adjoining property that's just a little bit just to the side of there's a house on it right now, which at some point we'll take down, and that could become soccer fields or parking lot or playground. You know, we just bought it because it happened to be on the market, and I think as the board and the administration work on a long-range facilities plan, we'll start to think about what would be a wise use of that property. But, you know, when those opportunities come along, you want to snatch them up.
Well, exactly, and now is the time because the market is a little bit down.
Right, exactly.
And that sort of thing. Okay, let's go on and talk about the Montessori program that was initiated at Goodland Elementary in fall of 2016. What kind of enrollment did you get this first semester, and what are the future? And by the way, there was an excellent article in Wednesday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Montessori schools, and it included mention of Racine having a Montessori school.
This has been a personal passion of mine since I came, and I came to Racine 4 years ago now. I had that on my list of things that I felt like we should have for our families in Racine, because Montessori is, it's not for everybody, but for those kids who it's right for, it is a wonderful program. So we have Montessori, Racine Montessori School at Goodland this year for 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. And next year it'll be for 5-year-olds. So we'll have 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, and then the year beyond, hopefully 3-, 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds, and on up through the elementary age. So eventually we hope that that becomes a full-fledged school. I think it will be. So far, our enrollment's full and a waiting list.
Really?
And families love it. I hear all the time from families that are seeing. I saw an email last week from a parent. Her 4-year-old is already reading, and she's thrilled. I have another parent who is telling me that this is the youngest of their three, and she is their youngest who's at the Montessori, and the 3-year-old program is so much more independent and just very different from the other two children, and he can see that that's really reflects what Montessori, because Montessori really emphasizes being an independent learner, being able to sit by yourself and concentrate and focus for periods of time, that sort of thing, make your own choices.
Yes.
And he said he can really see that. So it's a very successful program, and I'm just thrilled that we can offer that to our families. And I think it's going to become one of our most successful programs, you know, down the road as we age it up through the years.
Now, will that move to the Sportsplex then, or will that stay at Goodland?
We think that'll stay at Goodland, or we'll have to find. The Sportsplex is for real school. Originally we thought, well, maybe we could put that out there, but then, you know, we thought, well, the real school needs a place, and the technical college is right there. That was a better decision, we thought. So we're thinking that it will stay at Goodland at least for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so overall what we're looking at then is just a variety of alternatives or additional alternatives within Racine Unified to respond to parents' interests.
Right.
And Yes.
And our next move is, you'll hear in the next couple months, you know, our middle schools. We are revamping, rethinking our middle schools. We're calling it middle school transformation, and you'll have to have me back. That's a whole other topic. But we want to turn all of our middle schools into really great identity choices. So maybe maybe there's a fine arts one, there's a an international baccalaureate one, a STEM one, whatever. But we have those as choices, and we have K-8s as choices, and families can choose what's the right choice for them. So we want to make our school system good choices and many choices, so families feel like, you know, if you've chosen to go to school, it's very different than feeling like you have to go there. And we want to make sure it's a good choice.
Okay. And speaking of what's going on as far as the middle schools are concerned in this coming year, or in right starting now this school year, in the report to the community for 2016, there's a whole section on what's going to happen there.
Right. We will send that out. Actually, I think it's this week or next week. So we, in the fall, we sent all of the community and all of our staff, all of our families, some questions about what they thought was great about our middle schools, what was not great about our middle schools, what they'd like to see in our middle schools. And we've just gotten that all back and sorted through. And so we'll be sending that out, and you'll be able to click a link on our webpage and see exactly what people said and what the priorities were. And we are actually going to be meeting with the board this month about that, some thoughts that we have about what our middle schools could and should be.
Okay.
And want to get that all put in place, not for the 17 fall school year, but for 2018, because it's a lot. It'll be a lot of change and a lot of shifting, but give ourselves plenty of time to do that smoothly and you know, hear from people what we haven't thought of and, you know, solve all the what about that and how are you going to do that kind of things that always come up when you make big changes, and then open in fall of 2018 with a very different, innovative new way of looking at our middle schools.
Okay. And why don't you mention this report and how people can get access to it? I got mine through the Racine Journal Times.
Right.
You know,
we sent it out to our homes. It's online. It's a wonderful document that really summarizes everything that we accomplished last year and everything we're getting ready to do in the years ahead. Our communications team put together a beautiful, lots of photos and graphs and charts. It's not a lot of reading. It tells the story in pictures, which is what we wanted to do. And it talks about our new schools. It talks about our academies of Racine at the high school. It talks about how we're setting up our graduates to be college and career ready, and how we're going to measure that and say you are career ready or you are college ready. It talks about our Montessori program, all of the discipline work we're doing. Dr. Gallion, our deputy superintendent, he'd be another person you should have back to just talk about all of the work that's going on. The big number one thing we hear all the time is student discipline, student behavior. We hear that all the time. And we have many, many good things in place. Dr. Gallion's been leading that. And we have a three-year plan that assures that we continue to get better at that. And then it shows you some of the progress we've made in our student achievement and our graduation results, graduation rates, and so forth, and what our families say about our school. Our families, out of a scale of 1 to 5, we get a 4.1 when families are asked, yes, they agree that they're proud that their children go to their school, their Racine schools.
So the people who have children in Racine schools are responding very positively.
We asked the question, would you recommend your school to other parents? And we got a 4.07 out of 5 on that. So families, there are people who have complaints and gripes about our school system, but the families who go there, they pretty much like their schools very much. And that's reflected in some of the things in this report, too, so that there are always people who are unhappy with whatever there is, but there are many people in our schools who are very, very pleased.
Well, you know, there's a dimension, too, that I have thought about these last several years, is my own three children and two grandchildren are K-12 products of Racine Unified, and one of the benefits I think they received beyond the learning in the classroom and co-curricular activities was how to live in a diverse society. And this has been particularly beneficial to my two daughters and one granddaughter who live and work in diverse communities. And so it seems to me that that's a real benefit that people don't sometimes think about, because these kids are going to live in a diverse society.
You know, in the country right now, America's children are more non-white than white.
Yes.
And our children are growing up in a world that will be extremely diverse. And I think the diversity of our schools is one of the biggest benefits that we have that we can offer, is that experience growing up in a diverse place where everybody's different.
Yes, exactly.
And you have to get along and you have to learn to work with them and value what everybody can bring. And we don't all bring the same thing.
Exactly, right. And to maximize their opportunities so
right.
that they can function
right.
well in the
right.
society that they have
right.
inherited.
Right.
I realize that Racine Unified received a challenging overall score in the latest DPI assessment published in the Journal Times on November 18th. As we all know, there were elements that figured into that score or those scores besides test scores that made it so low, including the fact that over 2,000 students had left Unified for voucher schools last year and that many students had left because of public school open borders, which, for example, Union Grove certainly benefits from. Tell our listeners about the effects of those elements and others, such as parents opting their children out of taking tests, on Unified scores and the overall score.
We are going to teach the children who come to our schools.
Yes.
So families choose to go to another school system because they don't care for the diversity. They want a smaller school. They want a smaller school system. You know, our state legislature has made those choices available, and they've done so particularly in Racine and particularly in Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee and Racine are the only two districts where the number of children who can choose to leave for voucher is unlimited. Other districts have a 5%
right.
limit. So we have more than any other district, except perhaps probably Milwaukee. I don't know Milwaukee's numbers, but it's because it's unlimited. Kenosha, for example, it's limited to 5%, so they have far fewer students
right,
who are
exactly.
able to leave. The impact, I think, is strongest on our taxpayers because our your property taxes pay those vouchers. So there is a cost in your property taxes directly to pay those vouchers. The children who open and roll out, your taxes are paying that tuition to another school system
right.
as well. So we lose students that we hate to lose. And
right.
certainly some of those students may have performed stronger on the exams and given us a better score. We don't want to spend time on that. We have kids in our schools and we need to make sure they can do well. We were very disheartened by that report card. What the state has done is taken in most of the measures 3 to 5 years of average.
Yes.
So when you average our graduation rate from 5 years ago, even as good as it is now, and we don't even know what it is. So the graduation rate, for example, is from 5, 4, 3, and 2 years ago. It didn't include last year's graduation rate.
Okay.
And it doesn't reflect anything we're doing right now. And it's the average of those. So we've made big gains, but those very low 5 and 6 years ago graduation rates are really hurting what that number is.
Yeah.
And doesn't reflect how much improved we are. And over the next few years, it will get better quickly because those older scores that were
yes.
very low will fall off of that average, and so it'll start getting stronger. We lost points. You know, there's points for our student achievement,
yes.
which was pretty good, actually, much stronger than Milwaukee's. Some people think that Racine didn't do as well as Milwaukee, and it's just in the way the formula was calculated.
Yes.
But as far as achievement, our achievement is stronger. There's another measure they have for growth, which is how much progress did students make across the year. There's a measure for the graduation rate. I'm going to pull my little paper out, make sure I speak to the right measures. There's a measure for attendance, you know, which is also averaged over time. There are many. It's a complicated formula.
Yes.
What we know is what we can do about it. I am confident, I am more than confident that next year we'll see a big change.
Yes.
Our teachers in our schools have been focused so much on a different test called the MAP.
Yes.
Which we give in the fall, the winter, and the spring to see how much progress our students are making. And the forward exam is new. It was different the year before and different the year before. The state has changed their tests every year. We made a commitment and a decision to focus on MAP every year that we've been giving and not as much on this state exam.
Okay.
And because it was changing all the time.
Yes.
And so when it came time for teachers to focus on those exams, we focused on the MAP and gave the forward exam. Guess what we're doing next year? We're going to focus on the forward exam.
Yes.
Because that's the one that they're using to calculate our scores. And we have four big things we're doing. We're making sure some schools lost points because they didn't have enough students participate in the tests. So we're going to make sure the families know they have to get their kids to school. They have to be there on those days. We're going to make sure that the children are well prepared for taking tests. They take them on computer now. It's not like we used to fill in the little pencil holes. Now they have to use computers. So we make sure we have plenty of computers and the students know how to use the tools those exams have. Some of our data entry, some of the information we're sending to the state, we know we had some inaccurate, wrong data. So we want to make sure that we're counting attendance right, that we're counting dropouts correctly, that we're snagging and counting every single graduate correctly. We are looking at what part of English and what part of math can we make the quickest gains on? What can we do across all grades? I think we're focusing on what we call close reading of complex text, reading a difficult article, and how do you go through analyzing what it's trying to say, for example. And then every school is getting a visit with their leadership team and their data team from some of our central office people to look at every single school's individual score and say, hey, where can you improve? And I am just confident it will be fine next year, and we will be more than fine. So we're on it. We're going to fix it. It was a wake-up call for a lot of people who sort of sat back and said, we're fine, we're fine. Whoops. Look what happened. Yes. So we are better than that test score reflects, absolutely, and our students are making progress. It didn't show up in the way they calculate this. They weight of all of those different measures. They take into consideration the poverty of a school district, and the higher the poverty, the more weight they give to the measure of student growth.
Oh, I see.
So we had tremendous weight on student growth, and that was an area that we didn't have that wasn't our strongest area, so it really hurt us. Milwaukee, that was their strongest area, and they got a lot of weight for it, and Zoom, their points went way up, even though in the other four categories, we were stronger. So it's all the way they calculate those scores, and so now we know how they calculate it, and we'll make sure that the way they calculate it is to our benefit as well.
Okay, so we can look forward to next year.
Next fall, I'm confident we will be looking much better.
That's really great. And you've set up a committee dealing with all of this stuff,
We put several things aside to say, you know what, this is the most important thing right now. And so we have from now until mid to March, early April, when we'll be giving those exams to get our ducks in a row and get this right, and we will.
And I liked what you did with Goodland at school, you know, had the parents come in and talk with them. Mm-hmm. And the reporting that I read in the Journal Times then indicated that many parents didn't understand that absenteeism affects that score.
Another problem, our high schools, it's really important. So all of our juniors have to take the ACT. And that was another measure. All of our high schools lost points because they offer the ACT on one day, and then there's one makeup day. And so if I'm a parent and my junior says, you know, doesn't want to take that exam and they skip school or call in sick on the day and then they don't come on the makeup day, that really hurts. So we're putting together, are there some incentives? Is there something we can do to make sure we get all of our juniors to just come and take the exam? And that'll move that'll move two out of the three of our high schools right up to the next category just like that by getting. So those are easy things that we can address. Right. And every school is already doing that.
Okay. At this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I am visiting with Dr. Lolly Hawes, superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. Our program is focused on recent developments in Racine Unified, and now back to our program. Now let's talk a little bit about you. And given recent developments, I can't interview you without discussing the recent developments in which your contract was renewed for only 1 year. How do you interpret this development and what brought it about? Do you have a sense for that? I'm sure you do.
You know, I asked the board to consider extending my contract for 1 year. When I came to Racine, I said I'd like to be here 5 years.
Yes.
And one more year will give me 5 years, and then we'll see where we go from there. But I know the board was taken aback by the report card results, and they, you know, they, and rightfully so, I'm accountable for that. And they were deeply questioning what happened with the state report card results. And despite the fact, as I said, I'm confident that we will work our way out of this very quickly. I also said, you know, if you're starting to feel like, you know, the superintendent's ownership of that is has been disappointing, then why don't you consider 1 year? And I did ask the board to consider a 1 year extension instead mm-hmm. of two, and that's what they, you know, that's what we've all agreed to do. So I'll be here one more year and fix this, and be very proud of many things that have happened in the 5 years that I'll have been at Racine Unified.
Well, and that'll set the base then for you moving on in terms of whatever
your
career.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, the board could extend your career, your contract next year too if they wished.
They could.
There's going to be at least one new member of the school board who hasn't been on before.
Mm-hmm. So I think, though, that 5 years I think I'm correct in saying that I was the sixth superintendent in 10 years for Racine when
I came.
Right? So the turnover was, you know, and that is very hard in a school system.
Yes.
I just read a article last week that talked about when they looked at superintendents and school district performance, the main thing that they could identify that made the difference was the length that their superintendent was there. And the longer a superintendent is in a district, the better student achievement is, because turnover and change is really hard on a school district. So I'm really glad to have been here 5 years, and I'll certainly be working with whoever follows me to make sure it's a smooth transition. But I'm proud of all the things we've accomplished in 5 years, and I have really enjoyed being in Racine and have another 18 months to be here. So.
Well, and as I said to you, looking at the December 19th, I think it was, school board meeting, and all those reports and so on and so forth, I mean, I felt like the juggler, I mean, with so many things going on, how in the world do you keep track of all of those things?
I have
things?
A wonderful team of people that work with us in central office and our buildings. Our teachers work really hard, our principals. We're all busy because we believe what is possible for Racine Unified, and we believe in our students and what they can do.
So your intention for the coming year then is to continue what you've been doing
mm-hmm.
and refine the kinds of things mm-hmm. we've been talking about.
We'll have a strategic plan in place. We're going to have these report card issue set up correctly. We'll continue to have this facilities plan. We'll be doing our middle school, you know, planning
yes.
and get that launched. So when at the end of my 5 years, we'll have transformed our high schools into academies. We'll have a middle school, you know, set up in a very innovative and exciting way that offer great choices. We'll have a Montessori program. We'll have expanded our full day 4Ks. We'll have built 3 new schools at least. We'll have renovated many, many facilities with that referendum. I'm so proud of having been able to work with the community to pass that. We've done so much in Racine in 5 years. I'm really proud.
Well, that referendum was a real coup because you have the resources then to do these things.
That's right.
That need to be done.
That's right.
And so on. So, okay. So your legacy, what do you see as your legacy then?
I just listed it all out.
There you go. That's
I think we'll have put Racine on the road to being all it can be, and then the next person can take it from there, I think.
Well, and it seems to me that Racine is really a wonderful community.
It is. I have met such great people.
Yeah, and so on. And so I think, and Unified, of course, is at the core of a lot of this. Let's see now here. If you were to wave a magic wand and change one or two things about Racine Unified, what would that be, or what would they be, and why those?
I think I wish in general Racine is wants change, but they don't really want to do it, or they're nervous about it. So they see all the things that need to be improved.
Yes.
But when people propose them, you know, the resistance to it is strong. I wish Racine would be, as a community in general, would be more able to embrace change and look at the opportunities that change could bring rather than the challenges. Because change will always bring some challenges,
yes.
But it always brings opportunities. And Racine, I think, as a general rule, focuses on, oh, if you change that, look what this will look. Look at all the disadvantages,
yes, yes.
Instead of focusing on opportunities that change can bring. So, you know, that's been my constant pushing,
yes.
I think, as superintendent, is to say we need to change. Everybody's telling me we need to change, but then whatever the change is,
yeah.
It's the wrong change, you know. So I wish the community could embrace change and be forward-looking. We have to, and I know so many people are, tackling the unemployment, tackling
yes.
The infrastructure of the community, the roads, I think the communities has a hard time with so many distinct small communities, sometimes getting them all to work together. It's the same idea.
Yes.
So there are challenges for Racine, but wonderful people, bright future. The location of Racine is right on the eye between Chicago and
yes.
and Milwaukee. There's so much, and on the lake, you know, there's,
yes.
you know, the Racine has so much potential. It's a beautiful place and wonderful people.
A thought that I've had, you know, here is, what about an oral report to the community? You've talked about your printed report, and it seems to me you've given oral reports to the community
mm-hmm.
We
have. I think I've done that quite a bit. Always wish we could find the venue to do more. I try to put commentaries in the paper frequently.
Yes.
We try to make sure that I think the local newspaper has done a great job of covering a lot of the things that are happening in the district for us. And we work with the paper and they're very generous in letting us put those commentaries in. We're doing everything we can to make sure our community knows what we're up to. It's hard. And no matter how much we communicate, people will always
yes.
say, communicate more.
Yeah, exactly,
because they have their
special issue.
Right. I'm proud of how much we've communicated. I feel like that's something that we've been able to do these last 5 years, is really up our game in terms of what we're sharing with the community and how much input we're seeking from the community on the things that we're working on.
We're quickly running out of time, but I want you to comment on this Racine Innovative Technology Educator, where you've taken those funds and made them available teachers then. And your first grants, the teachers have gotten these now for spring semester and so on.
They just got them ordered. They'll be getting here in the next couple of weeks. We were thinking about, you know, we have technology referendum money. We bought one-to-one computers for Gilmore last year. And that was great for every one of those students to have a computer. But what happens is that some teachers are much more able to use it than others. And
yes.
as we started to say, well, which school or schools should we do that next? We thought, you know, why don't we give them to the teachers who are most ready,
yes.
no matter what school they're at? So we called it the Racine Innovative Technology Educator Grant, RITE Grant. And we asked teachers to, if you could have whatever you needed in your classroom that would improve student learning, what would you want?
Yes.
And how much would it cost? And so teachers had the opportunity to apply. And we've spent about $250,000 of that referendum money providing to the best of those proposals, the best ones of the whole, about 30-some applied and up 20-some that we funded.
Yes.
And those teachers are getting that, whatever school they go to.
Is that a nice variety? Did you get a nice variety
yep.
of
elementary,
response
middle,
to?
And high schools, yep, all across the district. So
you know, I talk
science and math and just elementary classrooms and special mm-hmm. education and music. So PE, we even had one for Phi Ed. So,
good.
So it's for the teachers who are really ready rather than saying, well,
yes.
let's pick a school, because yeah. then not everybody in that school is ready, you know, and then it's wasted money actually.
I talked to an art teacher, a high school art teacher yesterday, and she was saying something about art is even looking at technology
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
And
there are aspects of technology that fit
everywhere.
Right into art.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Digital cameras and media.
Yes.
All those things. So we think this is a better way to go, is to always give it to our forward-thinking, most innovative teachers, give them the tools
well,
they
sure.
need, and then that will spread to their neighbors down the hall.
So to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Dr. Lolly Hawes, superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. Our program focused on current developments in the district. Thank you, Dr. Hawes, for this most informative program. We wish you well in your work in the Racine Unified School District. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
WGTD is on your smartphone. For local news and the rest of the mobile version of our website, log on to WGTD.org. For live audio streams of WGTD, 24/7 Jazz HD2, and Sports Web, visit the App Store and download the free WGTD.